Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome to Cereal from the Box. My name is Gianna.
And I'm Murray.
And welcome to our podcast about eating food, feeling good, recovery, and anything else that we get to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. I think we'll probably focus a lot on mental health, a lot on creating a supportive community for eating disorder recovery, talking about our own experiences when it comes to body image, our relationship with food, and things like that, and how we've been working on repairing that, rejecting diet culture, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, baby. Let's get started. So, Marie, how was your weekend? What did you get up to?
What did I do this weekend? Had a bonfire with some friends.
Me too, baby. Me too.
Amazing. I feel like that's like the perfect like summer to fall activity, especially because it was like cooler this time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, super nice. A good socially distant activity in these corona times. But yeah, mostly that and a lot of sleeping.
Good.
What about you?
So I had a very active weekend. on Saturday, I met up with some girls that I went to high school with in the city. I live in New York. And we went to a lunch out, which I hadn't been to a restaurant in so long, but it was like out on the garden, so I felt a little bit okay about it. I was a little nervous, but and then we went to the Brooklyn Botanic Garden. It's a singular botanic garden.
There's not multiple, just one.
No, it's literally on the sign. And then that was interesting just because I hadn't seen them in so long. And then on Sunday, I drove my boyfriend's grandma to a cemetery, which was not how I envisioned my weekend, but it's what happened, which was fine. Cooked something. Also had a little bit of a bonfire, but just the two of us because we have no friends. And
it's a work in progress.
Codependent. That's the word. And that was about it today. Went on a long walk, and now we're recording.
Woo! Awesome. Yeah. What do we got on the agenda for today, G?
On our agenda today, we have, what is this?
I think we answered that one. Amazing.
It's our podcast. Who are we? I'm Gianna. As we said, I am a professional dancer, aka dance teacher, and also part-time nanny, part-time intern, part-time writer. I like to do a lot of things. I like to spread myself thin.
The hustling life for you.
It's the hustling life. You have to. When you're a city girl, you gotta do it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
For sure. And since, obviously, this podcast is focused on around mental health, body image, food stuff, and all of that, do you wanna share in the most brief and concise way possible? Don't have to be too concise. Kind of what experiences are with that. And then I can go.
Yeah. So I always kind of had like a weird thing about my body, like because I did do like very serious ballet training for most of my life. And I don't know if everyone knows because I feel like ballet is super niche, but like there's an expectation to be like really thin and have a very small body. And I am Hispanic, so that just did not happen. I'm kind of more athletic, curvy, whatever you want to call it. So I always had like a weird relationship with my body in that way. And then in college, just combined with stress, I went through cycles of binging and then restriction and then orthorexic behaviors. But then I hit a rock bottom. I moved to Pennsylvania, dropped out of school, and then that kind of hit me where I was like, okay, I have to get my life together, and here we are now.
Cool.
And that's my story.
So do you know what's like interesting too, right? Is I think when I think about it, I was talking about this to one of our friends yesterday, is how I feel like in a way, like our starting point in terms of like body image, like, and how that then started impacting our relationship with food and ourselves, really, I guess, kind of came at a head in high school. Does that feel true for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. We had to do this, like, a project in health class where we, like, tracked our calories. And I feel like a lot of people that I know starting at that point were just like, oh, no, like, I have to eat calorie per day.
Yeah. I think it's, and that's, like, interesting because, like, I remember, I guess, like, I know for me personally, like, outside of obviously the things going on in my life that resulted in like an eating disorder being a coping mechanism was, you know, gaining weight in high school, as many people do through puberty and all that stuff.
Of course.
And that leading to this like kind of mini freak out where as a result, it's like, okay, well, how do I lose weight? And it was turning to like our other friends and knowing what you guys were doing to, you know, control the size of your bodies, right? And being introduced to calorie counting that way, because I was never in a health class that talked about it, because I did some online summer health class.
Well, lucky you.
Yeah, I remember absolutely none of it. But so it was kind of, I think it's like interesting that we were all kind of, you know, dealing with various stressors in our lives and then all felt some type of way about our bodies that ultimately all led us to kind of pursue weight loss at the same time, more or less through the same methods. But I guess for me, in a way, it spiraled quicker, or it appeared to spiral quicker for me, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
Because
I remember for you, it did. Like, it was like a shock almost.
Yeah, because, like, so, if I remember correctly, I used to get the times all confused, so I'm not sure, but I feel like junior year, maybe, right, was when that started happening of high school. And, you know, by freshman year of college, I had significantly declined in my mental health, and then I ended up seeking out treatment. And I was admitted to an inpatient facility in order to start the whole recovery journey from my eating disorder. So I remember, I don't know how many years later it was after that point, you came to College Park, because I went to school at University of Maryland. And we went to a coffee shop there, and you were telling me about like all, it must have been before you went to Pennsylvania. But you were telling me about like the struggles that you had that year at school with, you know, your weight, your relationship with food and stuff like that. And I feel like if anyone was susceptible, right, to start like engaging in eating disorder behaviors, like being in dance, like the prevalence of that is so high that it's like, it made sense that like that was going to hit you at some point. But the fact
I do love to be a statistic.
But at the same time, it was just also kind of shocking and surprising to, like, because I thought maybe you had gone through it. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you were just resilient enough that, like, it wasn't going to get you. But then it did. And then I was, like, sad.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty depressing when you think about it. But, like, I don't know. I feel like it was very different than your experience, though. Like, it hit differently.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean? I guess, can you elaborate?
Like, I feel like I never looked on the outside much different.
Yeah.
Like,
which I feel like, so, I mean, in terms of, like, our podcast, right? So, like, we're just two whitish girls. Me more white than you. who are straight, cis, straight sized, if not, you know, living thin with thin privilege, right? And we're only two experiences. And, like, we know that eating disorders affect everybody. Having struggles with your relationship with food and your body happens to most people and can happen to anyone. So I, like, hope in the future that we can talk more about, like, what, you know, symptoms can, or behaviors and recovery, too, can look like for different people, and what, how those experiences can be the same but also different, and how your experiences are valid regardless of how, what your weight was or how much weight you lost or whatever, because there's definitely not just one look. And I agree with you that, like, by the time that I did seek out treatment, being underweight was noticeable for me, right? But at the same time, there's plenty of people in larger bodies who are still as equally malnourished as I was at the time, but don't have that same access to treatment or don't seek help because they don't fit the ideal of what it, you know, looks like to have an eating disorder.
Yeah, like, even so, when I left school, I didn't even tell them why I was leaving because I didn't think they would believe me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't look like I was sick, but I really, like, I was passing out after classes and, like, I felt worse than I looked. So it's kind of like, I didn't know at the time, but now I, like, can recognize, like, like, that was a valid reason to leave school. And, like, you know, you shouldn't have to fit in how it looks
for sure
to recognize that you're not doing great.
Because I mean, even at the time that I decided to withdraw from school so I could go into treatment, I had no actual, like, perception of, in a sense, quote unquote, how bad things were. Like, I was still invalidating my experience in the same way that, like, you invalidated your experience because of, you didn't fit the look, quote unquote. Whereas, like, I was still in many ways, although, like, it was clearly affecting my mental health. And I think the thing, the, like, physical ramifications were present, but I think I rationalized a lot of those away to be like, not a problem or whatever. It's not that bad. But I think for me, and I don't know if this was true in your experience, but, like, the social ramifications of, you know, being too afraid to go to the dining hall, to not see any of my friends, because that, like, brought up a lot of anxiety, and I didn't want questions being raised about what I was eating slash not eating. And I was, like, so only focused on two things, which was food and school, that, like, I really did not have the time or energy to be making plans with other people, especially when, like, plans freshman year of high school are so centered, or of high school, what am I saying, of college are so centered around going out, going to parties, stuff like that. And, like, at that time, because of, you know, my eating disorder, I completely was like, nope, I'm not touching alcohol. So, like, it was hard to, like, still partake in those things without being, you know, intoxicated.
I totally understand. Like, for me, basically, I got told on to our athletic trainer because my roommate and this other girl who I used to be friends with were, like, you know, like, Gianna, like, you can't just eat as a lunch. And I was like, don't tell me what to do. And, like, that's so out of character for me because I'm not mean. So they were like, what's going on?
Right.
So they did tell on me. And it was like, because I didn't want to do normal things. I wanted to just sit in my room and, like, go in my covers, and everyone's, like, going making friends.
That's true.
I feel you, girl.
Yeah. So I feel like that was the, at least, like, the point of, for me, that I was like, this is too much. Like, continuing to live this way is not going to work. Because, you know, like, you're not living at that point on a physiological level. And also just, like, in an enjoyment of life aspect. That's, like, what pushed me. But at the same time, I was still, like, very much in denial that, like, of like the implications of my behaviors, the severity, and things like that. And I feel like for me, that made treatment also like really difficult, because in some ways, like I was ready to start recovering. But in other ways, I was also still kind of very stuck and in the grips of like the eating disorder mindset. I feel like we talked a lot about, well, at least we started to touch on it. I'm sure we'll talk more about it in the future and hopefully get to talk with other people about their experiences. But I feel like maybe it would be good also to talk a little bit about like how our recovery process is going, because I really feel like that's an area where people need a lot of support. So I kind of just want to share what our experiences with that has been like.
Like right now?
Yeah, I guess like since you've decided or started working towards bettering your relationship with yourself, with your body, with food, what has that kind of like looked like for you? What steps have you taken? In what ways have you found support and motivation in that aspect? And kind of like, I guess even where you're at now, what things you still want to work on or feel like have improved significantly for you?
Yeah, so I feel like when I decided, like, okay, I'm going to be better, whatever, I'm going to not let food control my life anymore, I, like, would kind of half go into it, and then I would freak out, like, over the minors details. So it's really, like, I feel like I'm still working on it all the time, but it's kind of funny, and, like, also just, I think it's kind of silly, like, so my boyfriend is a really good eater, and no one in my family is very good at eating. Like, everyone is, like, dieting, or my sister also struggled with an eating disorder, so it's, like, I didn't have any good examples of people who ate normally, and, like, almost all my friends were dancers at school, and then, like, I don't get to see my other friends because they live far away, so I didn't know what normal eating really looked like. And then I started dating someone who is a normal eater. He loves food. He eats until he's hungry. He stops when he's full. Like, he doesn't, and he doesn't let the way he looks control the way he eats. And so just having an example has really helped me a lot to feel safe while I'm eating.
Yeah, for sure.
And even, like, I don't know, even, like, 2 days ago, I had, like, a minor panic about, like, what am I doing? Like, why am I doing this? And then, like, here we are now. Like, I'm, you know, living my life, doing my best.
Yeah. I guess, too, this is something I'm curious about, because I feel like even though this is a similar experience we both had, we rarely talk about it with each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess part of my question, is like, the binging that you were experiencing, right? Was that so more of something that was kind of like marking the start of your recovery, like maybe in like an extreme hunger sense and kind of working on regaining those like hunger and fullness cues and starting to re-regulate that system? Or was that something that was like more like a behavior that was used to like cope with emotions and other things going on?
You know, I don't really know, because I feel like I would just eat a lot of the foods that I was denying myself.
Right. So
it's not like I was hungry. It was just like eating my like my secret foods. But I feel like now like I could have like the whole thing of ice cream and I won't eat the whole thing, which is weird because like that used to be my thing.
Yeah.
You know, just, like, eating the whole thing and then being like, oh, you're the worst. But now I, like, eat what I want from it, and if I do finish it, that's whatever.
Right.
It's like, cool, I wanted the whole thing, but, like, I don't always finish it. And so I guess my binging was just, like, trying to allow myself to enjoy foods that I didn't allow myself to and feeling like they weren't always available.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, something I've learned in, like, a more formalized treatment, because, like, if it's not clear, Gianna, you didn't go through any, like, you didn't go to a treatment center.
Oh, yeah, no, I just,
anything like
I'm
that.
Doing it myself.
You were so strong. Unlike me. No, just kidding. We're not putting ourselves down on this podcast. I take it back.
No.
So, yeah, two thoughts. I mean, like, one, of course, I think what's important to recognize, and something that I guess like I've had a challenge recognizing, is that like binging is in response to restriction. Even if like you stop physically restricting, that mental restriction of having like foods that are no, you can't eat these, or they produce a lot of guilt if you do eat them and stuff like that. It's such a normal response to then quote unquote overdo it or have a binge, regardless of like if we're actually hungry, physically hungry. We can also talk about different kinds of hungers and stuff like that. But yeah, that totally makes sense to me. And I feel like I've noticed something similar with myself, because, you know, binging is something that's also characterized a lot of, you know, my journey or whatnot. And the feeling of like being like, oh wait, I don't have to either never have ice cream, or I have all of it, like a whole pint, to only just have what I want of it, is such a weird like thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, wait, what?
It's so weird.
This is how we can approach food. And it's like gratifying too, in a sense, because like it really does show your progress. And like how far you've come. But I also feel like at the same time, like this encapsulates like the name of our podcast, right?
Yeah.
Because like cereal from the box, like in one hand, like it does remind me of like all the times that I've, you know, was in a binge and literally just ate cereal from the box by the handful. But at the same time,
I used to do that as a kid, like hide in the closet and eat the cereal.
Yeah.
And then my mom would come down and be like, what are you doing?
Oh my goodness.
I'd be like, I'm hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's the thing too, though, is that like I feel like it's been so demonized, or like cereal in general has been so demonized by like diet culture.
For sure.
As like, you can't, like having too much of it is bad or whatever. So having just like cereal straight from the box is like, I don't know, that's like a recovery goal. You know what I mean? Like being able to do that and not, you know, respond with, you know, guilt and shame for doing something that's considered wrong. It's so gratifying, so freeing.
Another like type of binging that I've also had to work on is like exercise binging. Like, like for me, especially like going to the gym, especially when I was in school, because now I don't have a gym, RIP. But like I would go to the gym after dancing for like 5 hours. Like I didn't need to do that, but I was like telling myself that if I wanted to eat, I needed to deserve, like I had to deserve it.
Yeah.
And even now, like last week when I was off of work and I wasn't dancing, I was like, you have to go running. Like, and then I was like, no, I actually like don't enjoy it today. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to today. So like not overloading my body when it doesn't need to be is another thing that I've like a recovery goal.
Yeah, for sure.
That I've had.
Yeah, I feel like maybe we should talk about this more in a future episode, like exercise addiction and using exercise as like,
oh yeah, baby.
Yeah, a way to compensate and how to like overall just start improving your relationship with exercise. But that's also something I've been working on during the pandemic, because like now that I'm home and have more free time, like I guess prior to the pandemic, exercise was always like a punishment. I had to do it because of, you know, how much I ate or whatever. So it was like a compensation. And the goal was always to like lose weight. And I feel like really breaking yourself out of the headspace of exercise and weight loss, or changing how my body looks, coincide and go together. That's, you know, been a difficult process to start changing that thought pattern and just be more aware of my intentions of exercising, giving myself permission to not exercise if I don't feel like it, and all those things. So that's really, for me personally, like has been improving a lot over the pandemic. So that's definitely like good. But yeah, I know a lot of people definitely struggle with that. And a lot of times, you know, if you have to start eating more as a result of like recovering from like a restrictive eating disorder, right? Like the desire to compensate with exercise, I feel like that definitely increases a lot for a lot of people.
Yeah. I see that a lot, like girls that I knew, like who struggled a lot, who are dancers, they like become like what's it called, pyramid scheme, like exercise girls.
yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like they like, I don't have an eating disorder anymore, but like I love these like exercise bands. Wow, I'm so fit now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I don't believe you.
Yeah.
It's
like, yeah, like sometimes switching and like changing what those aesthetic goals are and stuff like that is very, it's a sneaky way that we kind of stay stuck in that like quasi recovery state. But yeah. Like obviously that's not the goal in the long term. And I know like we've been talking a lot about like more of like the, I don't know, it feels kind of like the restrictive side of things. But I do want to validate anyone that's, like, listening that, you know, might deal with, you know, more of the binging side, quote-unquote, overeating.
Oh, I had a two-way, guys. Yeah. Don't worry. You're not alone. I had both.
We both did. Also, I mean, you talked about exercise as compensation. Purging is definitely something that I've struggled with for a brief period of time, but like I said before, like hopefully in the future we can just talk to and have other people on the podcast that have more diverse experiences and diverse identities to like hopefully, you know, like the ultimate goal being like hopefully you guys feel supported, hopefully you guys feel like you're not alone both in your recovery journeys, in the ways you've struggled in the past or maybe are currently struggling, and then hopefully it's, you know, educational as well, and we can talk more in future episodes about how to take actual action when it comes to like steps towards, you know, finding love for yourself and worth outside of how you look and food and things like that.
And like I don't know, Marie was saying like earlier, we never really talked to each other about this thing. Like we knew it was happening, but we never talked about it. So I'm really interested to know actually like after you left like a treatment center, what happened
next? Okay. I guess let me talk about it more in detail then. So I entered treatment in like early 2016, and I guess like to sum up my treatment experience is I went to two different treatment facilities that kind of had different, more or less, like different ways that they approached, especially like with their like nutrition side of things. And I guess kind of like more or less like struggled in that environment, and with levels of care, I kind of cycled a bit up and down those things. And eventually, like, I left the last treatment facility that I was in because my mood was completely awful. I felt very hopeless that recovery was even possible. And just basically, like, I guess, as I was in a second treatment facility, like, my symptoms kind of started to change, so... You know, before entering treatment for the first time, I was, like, very heavily, like, calorie restricting or whatnot. And that for, you know, a couple months prior to entering treatment was really the only, like, symptom that I was experiencing, even though I had dealt with binging in the past. And that came back up again when I was in treatment at the second treatment facility. So about, like, a year after, like in 2017, I think. So that obviously was producing like a lot more feelings of shame and guilt. I'm trying to figure out like a compassionate way to say this. Like I don't think I was quite ready to let go of that restrictive side of things, because for me that was very safe. There was a lot of control in that. And that's more or less what I knew. So the idea of having to give that up was very difficult, especially when these other symptoms that brought me more shame and more guilt were starting to pop up again. You know what I mean? So I felt very trapped and stuck, where my mood wasn't improving at all. My symptoms were constantly combating between, I have to follow this meal plan that the treatment facility says I have to do. I have to drink my supplements and all this other stuff. But also when I'm not at treatment, I'm binging, but then I want to counteract the binging. And so it's like a whole mess of I'm being pulled in all these different directions. So there's a lot of things going on there. And then obviously a lot of things going on outside of having to deal with that whole recovery stuff. And then in addition, I had withdrawn from school when I first went to treatment. It was like spring semester of freshman year. Then it was summer, so I didn't have to worry about school. And then I had gone back to school full time in the fall, but I had transitioned up a level of care. So as a result, I couldn't like actually attend any of my classes in person. But I was still, and I dropped one class, but I refused to drop anymore. So it's like a very, it was a weird situation to be in, because like school has always kind of like meant a lot to me, and I've placed a lot of emphasis and like, I guess my identity and my ability to be, to succeed in school, basically. So.
Yeah. She's a super nerd.
I don't think so. And that's the problem. But yeah, so it was coming, you know, spring semester, we were getting off of winter break, and I refused to basically keep not being in school. And what they were recommending at the time was that maybe you should like withdraw for the semester, or maybe drop down your course load or something like that. And I was like, absolutely not, I cannot do it. So basically that like led to the decision that I was gonna leave the treatment program that I was in and just moved into outpatient. So in hindsight, was this a good decision, and should the treatment facility have let me do this? Probably not. Like, they had graduations basically, so like if you successfully kind of completed the program and stepped down a level of care, you had a graduation. I did not have a graduation, because I was not successful at that time, which is okay. But that basically led me to my nutritionist that I currently have, who I absolutely love. So she's been really helpful in terms of like helping me with intuitive eating and things like that. So we can talk about that more. Very exciting. That's the goal for sure. But yeah, help me work towards that. And you know, other anxiety related stuff around food. And then I also had, I don't currently have this therapist, but I had a therapist for the rest of college as my outpatient therapist. And so she, I guess, like, too, because we are focusing so much on like body image and food and yada yada yada, but like, poor relationship with food and body image isn't just because like we think we don't look good and therefore we need to change our bodies. Like, obviously there's a whole lot of other things that are going on. So I think she was really the one to help me start exploring that more, and you know, the different things, I guess, going on in my life, different things stemming from childhood, etc., etc., that were really keeping me in this, I guess, more or less like quasi-recovery cycle. And do not see her anymore, but I see a new therapist. So that's kind of like, that's been, I don't know the right word, but that's been like my central unit, my central support system, more or less, since leaving treatment. And I would say like I probably have personally made the most progress in that time. Granted, I've probably been out of treatment longer than I was in treatment at this point. But I definitely think my progress was a lot more certain, a lot more improved my motivation, how I look at diet culture, my eating disorder, et cetera, et cetera, has really shifted since then. So I definitely wouldn't say that I'm in a place of full recovery right now. I know plenty of people that are, and plenty of people that their time in treatment led them to that. So that's super cool. And I would love to get someone that can speak from that place on this podcast. But I feel like, you know, for many of us, like our relationships with food or having an eating disorder recovery is for sure a lifelong process and a thing that we'll be continuing to work on from here on out.
Yeah. I feel like I can't wait till I'm elderly because I feel like since a lot of my problems are like I'm like have a lot of career anxiety. Mm-hmm. When I'm old, I'm not gonna be dancing anymore. Hopefully I'll be relaxing in my home and I'll feel so much like less stressed about it.
Right, right. For sure.
Cool, cool, cool. So everybody, that's our show for today. Stay tuned.
Yeah. I think Gianna was so kind to create us an email. So if you would like to reach out, ask any questions, we would love to give our input on those things and hopefully make you feel heard and supported.
And if you have any questions, we're not professionals. Marie is actually almost a real social worker, but I am not a real professional person yet. But our email is cerealfromthebox@gmail.com. You can follow me on Instagram at Gianna Bartolini. That's just my name. Marie, do you want to plug your social?
What is my social? It is at Elsa with 3 A's in it, _ Marie. So you can feel free to follow me on there as well. And I'm sure we'll end up making an Instagram for the podcast as well. So when we get that, we will let you know what that is.
All right, folks. Catch you next time.
Bye.
Eat well.
Yes.
Be good.
Bye.